This is Alive with Joseph.
Give the Lord your praise this morning. Celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Let's get into scriptures. Don't sit, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, as it is our tradition at Alive Church to honor God when we read his word. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Look at three people on my behalf. Say to them, ask them that question. Very powerful question. Are you on a mission for God? Are you on a mission for God? Welcome to church. Welcome to day 14. Amen. I think I'm feeling that we should finish in the evening. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be afraid. We are finishing in the evening. Some people, your heart left you immediately. Amen. Don't worry. At the end of the third service, the fasting is over. Hallelujah. You won't have to come into the church in the evening. Okay, we've been looking at the power of generosity. That's a series I opened up. And we started looking under that series, a topic I titled, I Am on a Mission, or My Money is on a Mission. And I'm going to just pick it up as we wrap this particular topic up and we open up something new next week. I've discovered that many Christians are saved, but their money is not saved. They are in Christ, but their money is not in Christ. That is to say, they decided to leave their money behind as they got saved. There are some people, they prayed so hard and God begins to bless them or starts blessing them. They remove God from the equation and they start using the proceeds of grace to fund this grace. They start using the proceeds of grace or the money that God gave to them or the money that came to them by grace and the favor of God. They start using it to fund things that brings this grace to the kingdom of God. Listen, friends, when you and I understand that what God has given to us is by his mercy and grace, you and I should be able to fund the kingdom of God and be a blessing to the house of God. There are people that when they hear church planting, they hear missions, as we are planning to open up our first campus next year, the Houghton campus of our Life Church, that's a place to give Jesus praise. As we look at the prayer conference, you know, with the morning prayer is about to start going on tour. The first one is the Houghton prayer conference. And next year, we're thinking of hitting in Mpumalanga with the prayer conference and just go all over the nation. Now, all of that requires money. All of that requires money. And there are people that when they hear all of that, they just, you know, do as if, well, you know, it doesn't concern me. But you and I need to understand that what God gives to you via grace, you will need to fund everything that has to do with the grace of God and the winning of souls to his kingdom. Go. The house of God needs to be built. You know, when you look at the prayer conference that is going on, a dear sister 2 weeks ago came to me and said, you know, can I be part of the conference? I want to do something. I said, yes, you're willing. You can. She said, please, can I hire a bus that will carry people to the conference? And as we speak right now, a dear sister has paid for the bus, 60-seater luxury bus, to carry 60 people from Polokwane to the Houghton prayer conference. That's a good place to give Jesus praise. Amen. You know, an assuming sister, she just comes to church and do what, you know, serve God and move on, but decides to be part of the prayer conference. Make provision for 60 people to be able to go for the conference, who are willing to go for the conference, who don't have means of transportation. They will be ferried down there and we bring them back. Now, that is what we're talking about. Using the proceeds of grace to fund grace. Using the proceeds of grace to fund the kingdom. Another family here decide to say, okay, can we be able to be paying monthly towards the offsetting of the venue we're going to, excluding the sound systems and every other thing. And the family collected the account and every month they make payments towards the venue, paying every month towards the venue. Let's give Jesus praise. Amen. So that's what we're talking about, because the kingdom of God is expanding. God is doing great things, and you and I need to become part of it. Do you know that the Bible says concerning such acts that a seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. That is to say, what these people are doing right now, it's serving the Lord that accounts to a generation. It becomes a seed that the next generation is benefiting from. We have the men's conference coming. There are people who should say, Pastor, what needs to be done? Listen, the 200 rand cannot pay for the bills. It can't. It's just to get men committed. Because whatever you pay, put your money, you'll be committed to attend. Hallelujah. Amen. But when you and I understand this, we are able to get involved in the things that enables the kingdom of God move forward. I declare over you, may your service and legacy in God's house go as a memorial to your third and fourth generation after you in the name of Jesus. May your service in the house of God, may your legacy in the house of God, may it go to the third, fourth generation. Let it be recorded and accounted for a memorial in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. So that is the purpose of what God is putting in your hands. That is the mission for the resources God puts in your hands. Your ultimate aspiration must be to be a faithful steward of what God is placing in your hands. Listen, friends, you and I must be mission-minded. We and I must be mission-minded, because when we are mission-minded, we will aspire to be faithful stewards of what God is putting in our hands. What is the mission of your money? Is the mission of your money to please and promote self? No, that is not the mission. Is the mission of your money to sponsor evil? No, that is not the mission. The mission of your money is to promote God's kingdom. Child of God, know that what God has given to you is enough for you to serve him with in the season that you are in. Some people are still waiting until they make it big financially before they start supporting the work of God. And the truth is, God expects you and I to start from where we are. God expects you and I to start from where we are. Let me prove it to you. In the book of Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44, the TPT translation, the Bible says, then he sat down near the offering box. Watching all the people dropping in their coins. Did you see that? Jesus came and sat next to the offering basket. If you do that in this generation, you will trend. You will trend as a pastor. Hey, you stand next to the offering basket, someone will video you. You will trend. But here is Jesus standing next to the offering basket, watching. He wasn't standing to be praying for them. No, he wasn't standing and say, receiving. And no. He was, my friend, can we read it? Is it possible to read? Can we read, everybody? At the count of three, 1, 2, 3, let's go. Then he sat down near the offering box, watching all the people dropping in their coins. Many of the rich were putting very large sums, but a destitute widow, continue. The rich only gave out of their surplus, but she sacrificed out of her poverty and gave to God all that she had to live on, which was everything she had. So after watching them giving, he gathered the disciples and started teaching about money. He gathered the disciples and started teaching them about money. So Jesus sat around the offering basket and was watching what they were giving. And he said that, the rich have given out of their surplus. Inasmuch as they were giving large sums of money, that large sums of money was not a sacrifice. It was coming out of the surplus. We all know what surplus is in accounting terms. Surplus means that after you have gathered so much, you are tired of gathering. The ones that are just loitering around. So they have given out of the ones loitering around. Inasmuch as those ones were large sums of money, it was what was loitering around. But this widow, number one, she's a widow. That means she was already at a disadvantage. Those years, widows were heavily disadvantaged. widows were heavily disadvantaged. So, and being a widow, she could have, you know, made an excuse with a disadvantage and say, I have children to feed. You know, there's no husband to cater for me. I have no man in my life. You know, this one is too small. But the Bible said, out of that her little, she gave everything. And Jesus said, this woman has given everything. Listen, friends, when you and I catch this revelation, it helps us in our service to God. God has not called us to equal giving. He has called us to equal sacrifice. He has not called us to equal giving. He has called us to equal sacrifice. My sacrifice may not be your level of sacrifice. What is a sacrifice for me will not be what is a sacrifice to someone else. But one thing God expects from us is equal sacrifice. Equal sacrifice, not equal giving. Let's give the Lord our praise this morning. Hallelujah. So hear this, friends. Part of discipleship is conquering money. So Jesus used that opportunity to teach about money, and they documented it in the Bible. Listen, today, when we teach about money in the church, people demonize the church for talking about giving in church. And yet, in Jesus' church, they received offering. They received offering. When you talk about giving, people look for all kinds of excuses to not want to give in the church. People look for all kinds of stories. They talk about New Testament, His Old Testament, you know, that they're all kinds of rubbish, hogwash, to not want to give in the house. Do you tell the government when you pay your tax is New Testament tax? You know SARS. You don't know SARS. Oh, God help you not to know them. Just don't know them. They will come after you. You will have sleepless nights. Ask those they have come after. They will testify to you. Amen. No, we don't do that. But we think that when it comes to God, you know, it's a crime to talk about money. Listen, if you still have a problem about the church talking about money, you are not a disciple of Christ. You are not a disciple. You still have a problem about the church receiving offering. You're not a disciple of Christ. And the goal of the devil is that people should not serve God with their resources. We see a very good example of that in the book of Exodus, chapter 10, verse 24. When Israel was leaving Egypt, Pharaoh wanted Israel to go, but they should leave their resources behind. The Bible said that Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be left back. Let your little ones also go with you. So he tells them, go serve the Lord, but leave your resources behind. But listen to Moses' response to him in verse 25 to 26. Moses said, you must also give us sacrifice and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. We're not leaving any part of our resources behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. That is, we are on a mission. And our money must be on a mission with us. And even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. We don't know what God is going to ask us to give until we get there. We don't know what God is going to ask us to give. So we need our resources to go with us, because we cannot get born again and our money is not born again with us. We cannot be on a mission for God and our resources is not on a mission with us. And he said there that we're going to serve God. We're not leaving our resources behind. I pray for you. May you and your resources serve God in the name of Jesus. So Moses said our money must be on a mission with us. And the devil is always working very hard to make sure that you keep your resources away from being involved with the work of God. Can I ask you, have you left your resources in Egypt while you have left Egypt? Have you left your resources? You came out of Egypt, but you left your resources in Egypt. Because we need to consistently check ourselves to be sure that we have not left our resources in Egypt. We have not left our resources in Egypt. And I pray for you. May you and your resources be on a mission for God in the name of Jesus. Now let's look at myths about money and also truths about money. Myths about money, truths about money. Number one myth about money says money must be plenty to be meaningful. That's a myth. And the truth is this, I read that in Mark chapter 12, verse 43 to 44. The truth is, Jesus called the disciples to gather around and said to them, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given a larger offering than any of the wealthy. For the rich only gave out of their surplus, but she sacrificed out of her poverty and gave to God all she had to live on, which was everything she had. So the truth is that you and I, wherever, at whatever level we are, we can honor God with our resources. You don't have to wait to be a millionaire or a billionaire before your money can be on a mission for God. So the myth says that until you have plenty before it can be meaningful. But the truth is, wherever you are, you can start from there. What you are earning right now, decide what percentage out of what I am earning do I want to use to serve God with. This helps you to break the hold of greed and selfishness. It breaks the hold of greed and selfishness. That is to say, by the time the millions comes rolling in, you are already on a mission for God. It will not be difficult for your resources to be on a mission for God. Because often we claim that, you know, that I don't have enough. And God is saying, wherever you are is a starting point. Wherever you are is a starting point. Hallelujah. Number two myth is success is defined by how wealthy you are. And the truth says, Luke chapter 12 verse 15, speaking to the people, Jesus continued, be alert and guard your heart from greed and from always wishing for what you don't have. For your life can never be measured by the amount of things you possess. The truth is, our life is not defined by what we possess. Social media has modeled to us that owning big cars and big houses and expensive brand means success. Which there is nothing wrong in owning those things. But don't let those things own you. There is nothing wrong in owning a big house. You should enjoy the finest things of life. I am for it that a believer should enjoy the finest things of life. But don't let the finest things of life enjoy you. Don't let what you own you. You should own it, not you own, not that thing owning you. That thing should serve you. You should use that thing to serve God better. I say to my wife, each time that God makes my life easier, is so that I can serve him better. So that I can serve him better. I can focus more in serving him better. Why, now that I have a car, is so that I can be able to wake up 5 a.m. in the morning and be able to drive to come and lead these people to pray. So that I don't have to worry about transportation. How am I going to transport myself to morning prayer? So he gives me a car so that coming to lead these people to pray every morning becomes easier for me. It's not for me to wake up every morning and be rubbing my stomach and be looking at my car. How great you are. How great you. No. It's so that my life can be easier. So that when he wants me to do anything for his kingdom, it's easier for me to do it. So when God blesses us with the finest things of life, it's so that our life with serving him should become easier. That's why he gives it to. He gives you a good house so that when you go to sleep, you're not worrying about where you will lay your head. So that you go home, lay your head in a comfortable place and be able to wake up to join 5 a.m. prayers. Amen. That's why you have a good bed. You didn't know. It's so that you can wake up proper to join 5 a.m. prayers. Amen. It's not for you to oversleep. Amen. The good bed is not for you to oversleep. It's so that you can wake up in the morning, wake up strong, and be able to join 5 a.m. prayers. Hallelujah. Why does he put plenty food in your fridge? So that when it's time for fasting, you humble the food. You tell the food, I have you in plenty, but I choose to abstain from you. Give the Lord your praise this morning. I choose to abstain from you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. So success is not defined by how wealthy we are. Success, God gives us those wealth so that we can serve him better. The Apostle Paul speaking said in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 12 to 13, he said, I know how to live on almost nothing and with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You know, we have misquoted this scripture. You know, we have misquoted this scripture thinking that God is saying that, you know, you can do, everything you want to do. No. It doesn't mean that you can carry a truck. You see a heavy truck and I can do all things. You want to go and lift it. My friend, you break your waist. That's not what God is saying to us. In the light of that scripture, in the context of that scripture, Paul Paul was saying that, you know, I can live in abundance, I can live in lack, and I can live in all of these things through Christ who strengthened me. I can abound and abase through Christ who gives me strength. It doesn't mean that you see someone who has more muscles than you. You want to go and fight them. I can do all things. My friend, you'll be humble though. It means now that now I can live in plenty. I can, in context of the scripture, because we need to be careful not to quote some scriptures out of context. Is it that when you pray, you declare it is a sin? No, it's not a sin. But I'm giving you context now. That Paul was saying this, that in the light of being able to live in plenty and little, I can do all things. I can live in both seasons through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. And for you to see that he's talking about resources in that scripture, when you go to verse 19 now, he now says, and my God shall supply all my... So the whole of that context is talking about giving and being able to live in plenty and abundance and live in lack as well. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise. Amen. So the reason why some believers question their Christianity is because everything for them is about money and provision. That's why they question their Christianity. So when there's no money, they question their Christianity. When there's no provision, they question their Christianity. And that has been the downside of the prosperity gospel today. That has been the downside of the prosperity gospel today. Some believers are seeking God just because of money. They are seeking God just because of money. They seek God because of money. So sowing and reaping has been taught so recklessly to the point where people have become transactional in their giving to God. They have become transactional. They are no longer mission-minded. Believers are no longer responsibility-minded. Believers are no longer soul-winning-minded. So you see a believer giving to God, for them now is a transaction. God, you know, you see, as I'm about to pay my tithe, make sure all my life nothing will be tight. My friend, stop that. Your tithe is not about making your life not to be tight. Amen. Your tithe is a responsibility you have towards the house of God, towards the kingdom of God. I do not tithe because I'm in a transaction with God. God, you see, that is why when people go through challenges, they begin to say, but I'm a tither. What are you talking about? Let me remove my glasses first. What are you talking about? That you're a tither. That's why you shouldn't go through tight seasons. No, my friend. That's an error. And that's the error of the end time prosperity gospel. It has been taught so recklessly that believers now are transactional minded. They give to God. It has become tinini tanana. It has become, you know, tatama chance, tatama millions. I give to God 10,000 rands right now. God must return back to me 100,000 rands. Where did you find that in the Bible? It's not in the scriptures. Give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, shall men give to you. He didn't say, shall money be given back to you. Shall men, whatever God wants them to give back to you, he gives back to you. When you give, God sometimes returns your giving back in form of peace. He knows that you require peace in that season. He gives you peace in abundance. He knows that you require joy. There are people, they don't need money. They need joy in their life. So God sends them joy. There are people who don't need money. They need stability. God sends them. So God knows what to give you. He didn't say, shall men give you money back? Hallelujah. God gives you ideas to make wealth. He gives you opportunities. He gives you access. Hallelujah. So you and I must not be transactional with God. We must not be transactional. We give to God because we are mission-minded, we are responsibility-minded, we are soul-winning-minded. Hallelujah. That is the reason we give to God. Give the Lord your praise this morning. And the reason why many believers give is because they have a hope that God will be giving them back what they have given. So Paul in verse 13 now says, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can live both in plenty and in lack. I can live both in, I can abound, I can abase. He wasn't talking about you being able to accomplish everything. No. He was making that statement in response to him being able to abound and abase.
That is, I can both in the time of plenty and in the time of scarcity, I will keep serving the Lord. I will keep serving the Lord. That is to say, if when you don't have money, you still can't judge God as being faithful, you are not a disciple of Christ. Because sometimes, listen friends, we will go through a season where it looks like things have dried up around us. We will go through those seasons. You will. No matter how your business is flourishing, there will be seasons where it will look like things are drying up. There will be a season where there will be temporal cash flow. So Paul is saying, when I go through the season of temporal cash flow, I can still do all things for God. I can still do all things for God. Give the Lord your praise, friends. Hallelujah. So you go through that season. That season you go through, God wants also use that season to teach you about Him being Jehovah Jireh, the God that is more than enough. Hear this, friends. You cannot have the revelation of Jehovah Jireh when you are in abundance. The revelation of Jehovah Jireh comes to you and I when we go through seasons of scarcity. You are right back, you have prayed, and God comes through for you. Ah! You know that, so that scripture ceases to be, you know, just a confession. You now know, my God truly supplies my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It is when you're in need that you look up to God. He shows up for you. You can truly say you have seen the manifestation of Jehovah Jireh in your life. So child of God, money is your servant, not your master. Money is your servant. When you master money, money cannot change you. When you master money, money cannot change. The reason why some people misbehave is because they have not yet mastered money. That's why they misbehave anyhow. Little money comes in their hands, they are misbehaving anyhow, doing all kinds of things because they have not mastered money. They are using the proceeds of grace to fund disgrace all over the place. Using it to fund iniquity. Using it to fund wickedness. Using it to sponsor wickedness. Using it to sponsor things that destroy. Because they do not understand that God gives to you so that you can be mission-minded. Hallelujah. God is a provider, friends. And I pray for you, you will be a living witness to that in the name of Jesus. I say you will be a living witness to that in the name of Jesus. You will be a living witness to that in the name of Jesus. I am a living witness to God is a provider. I am a living witness. I'm telling you the truth, friends. I am a living witness to God is a provider. I'm a living witness to the goodness of God, His ability to provide when it looks like everything is dried out. When we moved into this building, listen, when we moved into this building, we didn't have up to 2,000 rands in the account. Actually, we were still owing the Abdul, the guy we're renting from, we were still owing him his 67,000 rands rent. And we're matching it to this building. And the whole place was in a mess. That when I mean the whole place was in chaos. Chaos. I'm talking about moving from a smaller place to such a big auditorium. And within the short space of time, within three weeks, we saw the manifestation of Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provided. We paid off Abdul, the 68,000 we're owing him. The project we ran here that period was over plus minus over 1 million plus 1.something million rands within that period. Having to change the sound system, having to break everything, buy the carpets, do this, do that. You know, within that, as of the Saturday, we received the 20,000 rand that we needed to buy a new microphone with. The money arrived at about 10 a.m. We had to phone the guys who send the microphone. Hold on, don't close your shop. We are on our way. Jehovah Jireh. My friend, give this Jesus praise, please. Give Him praise. So He's in the time of scarcity. You know He can supply. But even in a time of scarcity, you abandon God. In a time of scarcity, you can't judge God to be faithful. Something is wrong. It means that you're driven by money. That's what it means. If every time you come to God, if He doesn't give you, God, you see now, my leg is almost nearing the door. If you don't give me, you won't see me again. Okay, hasta la vista. That's fine. Amen. Hallelujah. As I close with this, I declare over you Your heavenly Father will not withhold anything good from you in the name of Jesus. I declare, if you're in a season of lack right now, I prophesy, may you judge God faithful in the name of Jesus. May you judge God faithful in the name of Jesus. I declare, may you judge God faithful in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. Hallelujah. So God is still faithful and he will come through for you. I don't know who that is for. God will come through for you in this season. I say God will come through for you in this season. And when God gives you surplus, let it not change you. Let it not change you. I pray for you. Your heart will not change in the name of Jesus. You will not serve mammon with your money in the name of Jesus. You will not serve mammon with your life in the name of Jesus. I declare money will serve you. You will not serve money in the name of Jesus. You will serve God with your money in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise. Hallelujah. I declare over you, let the weight of God's glory rest upon you for the second half of 2026 in the name of Jesus. I declare you are a touch not in the name of Jesus. I declare new chapters are open for you in the name of Jesus. I declare whatever has been called difficult for you in this second half, it is made easy in the name of Jesus. The heavens over you are open in the name of Jesus. I declare systems align for your prosperity in the name of Jesus. Systems align to favor you in the name of Jesus. Elements of heaven cooperate with you in this second half of the year in the name of Jesus. And I pray for anyone that is under the sound of my voice as you're rising on your feet, I declare. Anyone that is in a prolonged season of lack, I speak against lack over your life. I command right now the lack, let it be removed. Let there be restoration of surplus in the name of Jesus. I pray over you right now, enter a season of supernatural supply in the name of Jesus. Anyone that is here, your business have suffered a setback, your career have suffered a failure, I pray for you as you look unto the great provider. I declare, let there be restoration for your business in the name of Jesus. Receive restoration over your career in the name of Jesus. I declare your business is restored back to profit in the name of Jesus. Your career restored back to flourishing in the name of Jesus. Plenty will come into your hands in the name of Jesus. The Lord will meet you at the point of your need in the name of Jesus. Receive victory in the name of Jesus. Receive celebration in the name of Jesus. Receive congratulations in the name of Jesus. I declare on the wings of these 14 days, you have become another man in the name of Jesus. You have been turned into another woman in the name of Jesus. Your capacity has increased in the name of Jesus. Your wisdom has increased in the name of Jesus. Your foresight increases in the name of Jesus. You have gone from ordinary. Right now I announce you are extraordinary in the name of Jesus. All things are now working for you in the name of Jesus. You are restored with compensation in the name of Jesus. Receive divine rearrangement in the name of Jesus. Your health will not fail you in the name of Jesus. In this second half of the year, your health will not fail you in the name of Jesus. Things your hands have not been able to handle before now, I declare, as we have marched into the second half of the year, let it enter your hands in the name of Jesus. Your feet is favored in the name of Jesus. Every territory you step into, it is handed over to you in the name of Jesus. Receive ideas that brings wealth into your life in the name of Jesus. Receive multi-million dollar ideas in the name of Jesus. I declare your health is sound in the name of Jesus. Your health will not fail you in the name of Jesus. I don't know who that is for. I declare it again. Your health will not fail you in the name of Jesus. Your health aligns and cooperates with you in the name of Jesus. I declare over your family members, let the gateway of a new season be open for them in the name of Jesus. No more struggle for your family members in the name of Jesus. No more struggle in the name of Jesus. No more running around the circle for your family members in the name of Jesus. I declare, let the miracles begin in the name of Jesus. I declare over the second half of 2026, it is still your year of supernatural a shift in the name of Jesus. Let your testimony begin in the name of Jesus. Let your favor begin in the name of Jesus. Welcome to your season of supernatural shift in the name of Jesus. Celebrate the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Celebrate the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website www.alivewithjoseph.com. as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.